Welcome to the weekly podcast, Stand Strong. I'm Paul White.
And I'm Noah Dieselkamp. Together, we look to God's Word to find energy and encouragement to fuel our faith.
When our trust in Jesus is firm, we'll be amazed what God can do and accomplish in our lives. So let's turn to the wisdom in God's Word, a true and trusted source that is going to help us stand strong. Let's dig in.
Well, good morning, Paul. It's good to be back here in the studio with you this morning. I'm looking forward to our discussion about disciples and materialism. I think this is a really important discussion, and I think it's going to connect well with some of what we've already talked about as far as living in the Spirit and idolatry. And I think it will also lead well into some of the perhaps more difficult, nitty-gritty topics that we'll be getting into as the season goes on.
I agree. So let's just dig in.
Well, we were talking before we recorded this, and one of the things we agreed on is if we're going to talk about materialism, we have to have a decent idea about what materialism is.
Right, yeah,
We can use that word without really recognizing, the full implications of what that is and a good definition of it. And I have a definition here, but I'll admit before when we were talking, you read a definition that I liked better. It's very similar to mine, what I have written down, but I think it helps expand the concept and helps us understand it a little bit better. Would you mind reading that?
Sure, materialism. So here are my thoughts. A preoccupation that leads to distraction, disinterest, or even outright rejection of spiritual values or what is most important.
Right, right. Now, for those who are also familiar with the other definition of materialism, the idea that there is no spiritual, no supernatural, only the material world, that's not the discussion today. Sorry.
Not today.
Sorry if that's what you came here to listen about. We may cover that in a future episode, who knows, but not today. Today, we're talking about this preoccupation, and that's part of why it connects so well with idolatry that we talked about just a couple of weeks ago. There's a close connection between materialism and covetousness. There's a close connection between covetousness and idolatry.
Yes.
They all land in a very similar area. But when we use the word preoccupied, or one definition is to be overly concerned with material things, possessions and wealth and those kinds of things, sometimes we go, okay, well, that seems kind of subjective still. What is a preoccupation? What does it mean to be overly concerned as opposed to just normally concerned? And I think it will help if we put a little bit of traction on this, maybe put a little bit of teeth on this to help us understand. I was reading an article not too long ago, and it posed several questions that were challenging to me. So I paraphrased a couple of them as I was preparing my thoughts for this. One question we can ask ourselves about materialism is, do we care more about stuff than people?
Mm.
And we haven't even taken it into the realm of our relationship with God directly.
Right.
But that question really sets us on the right path to start thinking about what it looks like to be materialistic. Do we care more about stuff than we care about people?
Yeah, In even asking a question like that, and that's a very good question because it's a probing question. Those questions are designed, as I understand it, to try to move me to the heart of the matter, which is the heart.
Yes.
You heard that before. And if you filter that through the lens of Scripture, when Jesus would say things like in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he says, where neither moth nor rust destroys, thieves do not break in and steal. And I think his point is put very well in verse 21 of Matthew 6. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Right.
That was the question you were asking, or the point of the question you were asking is fitting in the context of Matthew 6. So what we treasure, what I treasure, and the point is what I center, what we center our life on, does reveal who we are.
Exactly. Yes.
And so when you're dealing with a big subject like materialism and you start with the term preoccupation, okay, how do I know, or when can I honestly say, I'm preoccupied, consumed by the wrong things.
Right.
You know, fill in the blank.
We have to be able to make that kind of a self-assessment.
Right.
And sometimes if we just say, for instance, the heart of the issue is the heart, which is absolutely true. We have to remember that the issue with materialism is not the material things. It's the attitude about the material things.
Yes.
And so to assess ourselves about our attitude, we have to start asking ourselves difficult, probing, uncomfortable questions like, do I care more about stuff than I care about people? Or am I allowing, you know, physical and material things and physical and material standards to taint spiritual standards? Am I allowing my physical desires to affect spiritual outcomes? Those kinds of questions, they have to lead us down that path to get at the heart and get at our heart.
Yeah. Okay. So is it too early for me to go deep? Is it too early? Can I go deep?
Not at all. Okay. Go ahead.
So here's, when I say go deep, I'm not saying go deep like I'm the smart guy in the room and I'm going to no, what I mean by go deep is challenge. Just get really challenging. All right. So we've come off a podcast where we talked a lot about prayer. We've come off of a meeting we had here. We had Lawrence in. He said a little bit of things about prayer. I mean, we're doing prayer in our groups. I mean, prayer is on the minds and the hearts of people here at Cedar Park. We know that, which is a great thing. We know that God answers prayer. We know that we need to bring the right heart into our praying. Pure motives, faith, all of those things. So if I ask the question here, I'm going deep, does prayer work? Everybody ought to say yes, yes, yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So here was a prayer of the Apostle Paul. As he wrote to the Philippian church, he's writing this to Christians, and he says, I'm praying this. I'm praying. Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. Keep on growing in your ability to discern. And here's verse 10. In order to approve the things that are excellent. Commentary. In order to understand what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the end goal. Here's what he says. So that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. Paul's praying this. So if I'm praying this for me, Lord, I want to grow in understanding. I want to be able to properly discern who and what matters most. I want to understand what really matters. I need your help. Mm-hmm. I need the help of your spirit. I need you to reveal, to show to me, so that when I open the pages of your book, I'm bringing the right heart into a text of scripture so that I want to make sure I don't have an idol in my heart. I'm not materialistic. I'm not off center. So if I'm praying that, this is not discerning right over wrong. This is discerning best over better.
Right.
You know, and so that's the challenge. We have that in scripture. We have the Lord revealing that to us about an apostle praying for Christians. If we're praying that for ourselves, if we're praying that for others in faith, pure motives, and I just ask the question, does God answer prayer? Maybe that's what Western American church is. Maybe that's what Cedar Park, maybe that's what I need to be doing without ceasing, is asking the Lord, I want to have a discerning heart. Mm-hmm. I don't want to become guilty of this idol in my heart or in my life that causes me to be preoccupied to the point that I get distracted, disinterested, and ultimately outright reject.
Right. Yeah. That's an impactful way to put it, because we often want to oversimplify things black and white, and there are things that can be black and white. But when it comes to priorities, oftentimes we get lost in these shades of gray in between, trying to discern best from good, right? And that becomes a matter of priorities. And that really does speak to what's the goal. If we can recognize, okay, materialism in the life of a Christian is wrong, it's unhealthy, it's bad. Okay, well then what is the goal for a Christian who's trying to either avoid materialism in the first place or fighting their way out of a materialistic mindset and heart disposition? What's the goal? Where are we trying to get? And the thing is, the answer is going to depend, not the right answer necessarily, but what answer you get is going to depend on who you ask. Because people have asked that question for, you know, thousands of years. And you've seen that some people, the answer is, for instance, you know, like this ascetic lifestyle where there's this refutation of all physical material things. You know, there have been whole societies, whole groups of people that have gone that route. But that doesn't necessarily address the heart.
Right.
That could be a valid tool to put those things away for time, even for a long time. That could be a tool in order to train our hearts. But if that is simply a Band-Aid, maybe a very large Band-Aid that we're slapping onto the issue inside our hearts, that's not the end goal. The end goal isn't that all Christians should become ascetic.
Right. Yes.
The goal, and I look to the Apostle Paul for this example, the goal is to be content in Christ and to have our priorities aligned to Christ. And the reason that I point to Paul specifically is one of the most quoted passages in all of Scripture is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, the context of that is more along the lines of I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. And specifically, he says leading up to that, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when it comes to this materialistic mindset, the goal where we're trying to get to is that kind of a mindset that says, you know what? My material possessions don't matter whether I have many or I have none. What matters is I'm in Christ and he will provide for me and he will carry me through this.
Yeah, that's completely reshaping and transforming us from the inside out.
Right.
You know, a satisfaction with what truly satisfies.
Mm-hmm.
That's an oversimplification, but that's why Noah, you know, you brought up contentment. Maybe that's why, you know, you've got the scripture that says godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yeah.
Contentment is a key, but so is godliness. And you merge the two together, you wed the two together, godliness with contentment. And so that's what's going to help us, help me with the right heart, the right way of viewing and looking at things.
Yes.
You know, we get input, we get questions. We're appealing to our listening audience to give us feedback, to give us input. And we got a little bit of input, Noah. This is kind of a good way to segue into this. We'll come back to materialism. So stay with us in this podcast. But, you know, we just had been talking about, we had Lawrence in here in the studio, what I think was a week ago, and we were talking about the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That was kind of the theme and direction we were in our meeting. And as I understood it, the three of us were talking before we did the podcast. The point of that was to help us to see the God who invites us into relationship and fellowship and who this God is, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And look, I know that's a deep subject. Whenever you talk about God, you got to be very careful where you're going with this.
Right.
But this input, this came up, Noah, so I want to just throw this out here. Does God only hear the prayers of his children?
Mm.
Does God only hear the prayers of his children was kind of the feedback and input we were getting. I want to submit a couple of things and then toss it to you. The first thing that I thought about when I thought about that, does God only hear the prayers of his children? Whenever you assume or presume or say what God will or will not do, man, talk about being very careful, very, mm-hmm. very careful. And the only way I can say what God will or will not do is in the pages of his text. And sometimes still, I've got to be careful that I don't misinterpret.
Right.
What scripture says. Like I'm thinking about scriptures, you know, the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, his prayer, ears open to their prayers, face of the Lord is against them will do evil. Clearly that's the text in scripture.
Right.
What does he mean by righteous? Who are the righteous? And again, yes, God has a people, a covenant people, our Father.
Right.
But we have to be very careful about speaking for God, what God will and will not do.
Yeah.
What's your thought there?
Well, again, like you said, this is one of those conversations where if we're not careful, we will begin whittling on God's end of the stick,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to do that. We want to speak the things that God has spoken and revealed about himself. That passage that you brought up about the idea that his ears are turned away from those who do evil, that is a true statement. But we also have to recognize that it is true of God that he is, and this goes back to the discussion we had with Lawrence and the meeting that he held here at Cedar Park. Part of the point of what he was saying is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, that God is inviting us into a relationship with him. And it's not just me, it's not just you, and it's not it's not just a group of people, but he is inviting each individual person to enter that relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about the question of, for instance, does God only hear the prayers of his children? What we have to recognize is that invitation is open to everyone, not just those who have already taken advantage of this special covenant relationship in Christ. And so we have to take that into consideration. That's part of who God is. That's part of his character. And so whether or not God hears the prayers of those who are outside of Christ but are seeking to be in that relationship, who are seeking to answer the invitation, I don't feel like that's my place to say whether or not he's going to do that. I may have my thoughts about whether or not he will, but in the end, that's God's choice. We need to be very careful about limiting who God will hear in prayer in ways that I don't think that verse specifically is talking about.
Amen. What a great way to answer that or to speak that, Noah. Well said. Just add this and we'll move back into materialism. Just for thought, let's not forget what the Apostle Paul said to young preacher Timothy, and he says, the Lord knows them that are his.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord knows them that are his.
Yeah. So, now, that's actually, I think, a good point to transition back to this discussion about materialism, because one thing that we haven't touched on with materialism that I think is worth specifically calling out, a danger that can lead to materialism, is finding value and identity and worth in material possessions. I mean, there's a reason that we have the phrase status symbol, right? Whether it's the car we drive, the phone we use, the house we live in, there's this sense in our culture of having this status symbol of things that we own. And so we start to determine our value and our worth and our identity by the things that we own. But as we were just talking about, our value, our worth, our identity is found in this relationship with Christ. And that has to be part of the answer to materialism, is recognizing that we have a much greater value and a much greater identity than the stuff that we have or the experiences that we get to experience or any other material things that they're only going to last so long anyway. We have a much greater identity. Our relationship with Christ is the foundation of that.
Yes, yes. And our ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction is not found in this life. It's not found in anything that's temporal. And there are a lot of passages that speak to that. I want to say this about materialism, Noah, as I see it. You know, sometimes we sidestep the issue. We've talked about it being a heart issue, and it is. The idol of materialism is a battle for the heart all across the Western world.
Right.
But sometimes we sidestep the issue by thinking that materialism only applies to money,
mm-hmm.
Physical possessions and stuff. Material prosperity and materialism are two different things. And I love what one author says. He says, materialism is the sin of thinking of ourselves as owners rather than as managers of what God has entrusted to us. Now, clearly we see ourselves as stewards, but stewards of much more than just simply our stuff and things and money. We are stewards of time. We are stewards of people. The reason I'm bringing this up about don't sidestep the issue, don't try to just put materialism into this box of only talking about money and stuff. Sometimes a materialistic attitude, there you go, a materialistic attitude can cause me to sacrifice relationship with people.
Yeah.
People matter more than things. I'm a steward of people. So, which means if I'm going to invest in the people and make people matter, then I've got to be willing to sacrifice self and time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this materialistic attitude. See, we put this materialism into this box sometimes, or I've been guilty of doing that. Thinking, well, you own too much stuff, and this desire to be rich language and all that. And that's there.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about, what about the person? What about the people? What about the church that you can hardly get everybody together to spend time together because they're so busy?
Right.
They're so preoccupied. There you go, that term, the preoccupation. And that leads to a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need each other. We need to value each other. We need to value things, this over that. There you go.
Right.
And so I can get distracted and then eventually get disinterested. And those very things that the Lord says are what's good for the growing and the spiritual development of his people.
Right. Absolutely. We can be so short-sighted sometimes. And quite frankly, if we want to be blunt with ourselves, materialism is a short-sighted posture of the heart. It is a short-sighted mentality.
There's your definition. You could have tossed that out like 20 minutes ago. Yes, that's good. Short-sighted. Yes.
It is. And like you were just talking about, God created the church for a reason, right? We're a part of the local church. We're part of local churches trying to encourage one another, build one another up, serve God together. We are a part of this body of Christ that spans the globe, spans time. These relationships that we have that are in Christ are worth investing in now, because they don't pass away like other material things do. And that's just one example of how a materialistic mindset causes us to be short-sighted, because we'll sacrifice those kinds of things, those kinds of relationships for, it doesn't have to be for things, it's for the passing enjoyments and experiences and pleasures of the world around us. And those won't pass the grave.
Yeah, I agree. Let me share this. We're running up on our time. I just want to share this, connect it back to what I said about going deep in the big challenge. This is the challenge for me. So purity into our praying. Lord, teach me, show me, lead me. Purity in our praying. Lord, teach me, show me, lead me. So signs are symptoms that I may be materialistic, that I may have a heart issue, that I may have an idol here or an idol there. And I'm encouraging us, as I encourage myself, take this into your praying. Do I have anxiety over money? Am I covetous? Here's another one. Do I find little, if any, joy in giving? It's not about I got to. It's about I get to. And it's not about simply a first day of the week as you prosper in a plate. It's a heart, it's a mindset, it's a disposition. Do I find little, if any, joy in giving? And then like you talked about, the discontentment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not satisfied. And again, there's a whole nother discussion and a whole nother topic. Social media is not helping us.
Mm-hmm.
It is not helping us to be all God dreamed us to be and to avoid a materialistic attitude. When I can get on Facebook, when I can get on any kind of other venue through social media and find out about what everybody else is doing, and then all of a sudden the vacations that I was taking, the clothes that I'm wearing, the car that I'm driving, the house that I live in stinks.
Right.
In comparison to. And I can become preoccupied with a way of thinking that causes me to become discontented,
yeah.
Unthankful.
Yeah.
And well, I just offer that as challenge.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good way to wrap it up and give some practical things for us to carry in our hearts and think about and meditate on as we're going about our day. I think that if we are willing to ask ourselves those kinds of questions, we will be one step closer to getting our heart in the place where it is not focused on the material things, but it is focused on being content in Christ and in our relationship with him.
Yeah. Can we pray about that? Noah, would you lead that prayer? Just pray about these kind of things that we've been talking about today.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now and we are so thankful. We know that we are blessed beyond what we need. We are blessed beyond measure, not only spiritually, but also physically. And we thank you for that. We pray that you work on our hearts, that you give us the opportunity to learn what it means to be content in you. We recognize that praying that kind of a prayer could lead to difficulties and challenges, and it could lead to us feeling uncomfortable and asking questions that make us feel very, very low. But we pray that you use those kinds of experiences, if it's needed, to work on us and improve us and change us so that we can be more like Christ and that we can be content in our relationship with him. We thank you so much for the fact that you love us enough to challenge us in these ways. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about 21st century discipleship, Noah, in this season four. Lord willing, a direction we want to go next week, next Monday, is to talk about disciples and alcohol. And again, I know that's a big subject, just like materialism. It not only is it big in terms of there's so much time has been spent on that, can be spent on that, mm-hmm. And we're going to only spend, 20 plus minutes on it. But it's heavy in the fact that we never want to leave the impression with people, whoever's listening, with ourselves, that we are the standard. The standard is outside of us. The standard is Jesus Christ. And in discipleship, we just want to be more like Jesus.
Exactly.
So we want to learn from him. So, what are some principles? What are some areas that we need to give attention to in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking that has to do with disciples or discipleship as it pertains to alcohol?
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that discussion next week. And for those of you listening, we hope that you'll join us next week in that discussion. And until then, we pray that you will stand strong. Thanks for joining us in God's Word today. We hope you'll continue to join us each week as we consider how to deepen our faith in God.
Here's some good news today and even this week. With God as our foundation, we know that we can stand strong.